The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome. My name is Noor and this is This Muslim Girls Podcast. This podcast was created as an outlet for myself to carry dialogues of open communication between different Muslim women about different topics. But it also serves as a resource for women to have a platform to share their narratives of their experiences with struggle and success. I think more now than ever, Muslim women are being underrepresented and misrepresented, not only in our communities, but in the media. And I believe it is time that we create a space where we can hold the microphone and be able to truly and genuinely speak our truths. Thank you for listening in, and I hope you enjoy the following episode. Today, I have a special guest with me, a woman who is a friend, a sister, and an inspiration. Her name is Anissa Saleh. She is a conceptual artist currently living in San Francisco. She graduated with her master's in fine arts in 2014 and since then has been featured in shows in multiple cities, including a residency she finished in New York, where she had two solo shows, and a group show thereafter in Washington, D.C. Hi, Anissa, and welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I knew I wanted you on the show for many reasons, not only because you're like one of my best friends, but because I wanted to specifically talk about how you use your art to kind of illustrate your experience as a Muslim Yemeni woman. So I wanted to start off with just maybe asking you about a couple of things. As a Yemeni Muslim, you like to direct your audience into your work. There's actually a post that is on your Instagram and you wrote, "All my life I had to fight." And under it, you quoted, "My art is my life, story, and secrets." Now, why is that? Like, why do you want to allow people into your life in that way?
So when I wrote that and posted it on Instagram, it had to do with people constantly asking me, you know, why do you always have to feel like you have to let people in your life for them to understand your art or to understand work? Like, why are you always in it? Mm-hmm. I have always been an autobiographist. So everything that I've made has to do with a situation I was in or has to do with something that I'm dealing with in life. And I try to invite the viewer into my life because I want them to see sort of beyond the hijab and beyond the Arab culture that I come from and just to only see the situation or to see what it is that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So like in the art piece, the conversation that I had with my mother,
Love that piece.
Thank you. About me moving and going to New York, I wanted people to see that not just the struggle, not just the culture, not just, you know, me having to have this uncomfortable conversation with my mother, but to see the mother-daughter relationship, because we all, no matter what culture you come from, you want your parents to be proud of you. You want them to be a part of your life decisions and be okay with the decisions you make in life. So that's, I want people, I guess, just to look past it, look past the religion, look past the culture, and just see that there's a person there who is dealing with the same things that we all are dealing with.
And has that been easy? I mean, you show in many different places. I'm sure you've had many different audiences react to your work. Is that always the case, that they're able to look at it objectively and in the different ways that you want them to? Or is it kind of just always like, oh, it's like this pitiful Muslim girl, like, struggling? Or, you know what I mean? How do you get them to perceive it in a way that isn't always tied to how you are, who you are on the outside?
I deal with that a lot in editing. I kind of feel lucky I sort of have like an advantage because I come from both cultures. So I can see it as like this, you know, American who's looking at this person from this different culture. That's what I always try to like remove myself from who I am and think like, okay, well, if my viewer saw this, what would my viewer be saying? Would they see this and say, gosh, this poor, like, poor Arab girl, here she is oppressed again? Or are they going to see the situation? So I redo it over and over and over again until I feel like, okay, the situation here is being projected more or being projected stronger than my actual image.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's been good. I've had great feedback. I've had a couple of people who have said like, oh, wow, like I didn't realize, you know, that Muslim women go through this, but it didn't even really matter because we all go through these situations. And that always makes me feel successful in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, if you look at it, it's even like, you know, and I don't want to kind of jump ahead because this is something I wanted to talk to you about later on, but even just the idea of age and a woman's status with her age, that's not just something that translates in our Arab culture. Like, sure, it's still, I think, more practiced, or it's a little bit more taboo. But if you look at most of the stuff that we deal with, it's probably more saturated in our culture, but it's existed in the Western culture before. It might not today, but it used to, and it stemmed from it. And I feel like people, when they can look at these things objectively, they'll realize that it's something that they can relate to if they open up their mind enough to like view it in that way.
Yeah. I try to take in, like, just in everyday life, it's really unfortunate, but I've had people on multiple times tell me that I am not American. And that always pisses me off and, like, further fuels me in making art to try to say, like, okay, well, I just have to make them work harder on realizing that American doesn't mean white. American doesn't mean black. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean anything that has to do with another person's background or where their ancestors or descendants are from. It's about whether they were born and raised here or whether they have a U.S. citizenship. They're American. It's not about any of those other things.
And I mean, what's more American than being unique? And I thought, you know, America was known as the melting pot. So if you're not going to be a part of that, you know, diversity, then, you know, I don't think that American necessarily has a definition.
Yeah, well, also the melting pot concept, it's really interesting because a lot of people think, well, it is a melting pot, we're all mixed in together. But that actual thing, that actual like saying came from saying that, well, all of art, when we come into America, we let everything else melt away, and that's how we become this melting pot, because we let go of everything and we assimilate, and now we are all Americans. I disagree with that.
So you'd say we're a fruit salad?
Yes, we're a fruit salad.
You talked a little bit about how maybe outsiders or people who aren't necessarily Arab or Arab American, how they view your art and how they come to understand it. And you've said you've had kind of a positive reaction to that.
Yes.
Although I'm sure that if, you know, it was something that was really publicized, you'd have so many different reactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the reaction from your Yemeni community or the Arab side of, you know, the Arab community towards your art? Have people been viewing it? What's their reaction? What are they saying about it?
Okay, so let me think. As far as like my family, they've been supportive. They actually have never been to any of my shows or really seen my art, but they support my decision in being an artist, and they're fine with that. Arabs who viewed my art, I haven't like had a one-on-one meeting with any of them. When I had the show in DC, there was a big Middle Eastern community that came and showed up. I don't think it was because of me. It was a group show, and there was a lot of diversity in that show. But the Middle Easterners that were there, they came up to me and they said that they were very proud to have an Arab being represented and showing her work, and that they felt that my work was very strong and they were able to relate to it. In New York, there wasn't that. It was the same thing. There were a lot of people from like Turkey and a couple of people from Pakistan who said the same thing. They said the work was brave and that they were really appreciative of it being so honest, and that they were really able to relate in that way. So it's always been positive. I haven't had a negative response.
So going back to what you said, your art is very honest. And I think anyone that has seen it, which if you haven't, you should, you know, we'll put in your social media at the end so that people can see some of your work. But I know I've talked to people who've seen your stuff through, you know, Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. And when it comes to what I've seen from the Yemeni community or Yemeni girls that I've talked to about it, they're just really, I think it's refreshing to see a Yemeni woman be so honest and comfortable. But I'm not sure, how do you think that most Yemeni people would take your art? Because let's be honest, there's not a lot of girls who are comfortable with putting themselves out there. It's a very vulnerable place to be. And most girls that are artists tend to kind of go that very technical aesthetic route, not very conceptual, not really talking about problems. I know you love to bring things to the forefront. You like to open discussions. You like to kind of agitate people a little bit. So imagine you come back to the Central Valley and you have a show here and you show all your work. What do you think the reaction would be?
I think the younger woman would be proud. I think that they would be happy and they would see it and be like, yes, yes. And I think that the males would probably frown upon it or just be like, why is she always showing her image and her work? Or, you know, that's very taboo in our culture. Like, you're not supposed to, like, show yourself or something. You can't be in pictures or you can't be in public, and like those types of things are frowned upon.
It's funny because we view that kind of silly now, right? Growing up here, not understanding that concept.
Yeah, but it was such
really
a fear for me as a younger woman. That was such a fear for me. I had, you know, no social media, but well, I didn't really have to grow up with social media, so I was lucky in that sense. But as I got older, I was still like, okay, worried, like Facebook won't have my picture. It'll just be, you know, something else, or it'll be a piece of artwork, or it'll be, you know, a flower or something. Like, it won't be me. And the same goes for like, oh, being in, I remember in undergrad, we did this art project, and there was a photo of me, somebody from the Bakersfield, California, and took it, and I was in the newspaper, and my face was in the newspaper.
I remember
that. I was so
nervous,
and I was like, oh no, like, what is my family gonna say? What are people gonna say? You know, you're not supposed to have, like, your image out there. It's, like, it's Aib or, you know.
And was there a reaction to that?
Well, my family they were actually happy. They were like, you know, it's something positive. It's not like you're on mm-hmm. there doing something horrible. Like, you're not on there, you know, exposing yourself or doing something terrible. Like, you're out there producing art, and that's okay. So they were okay with it. But it's, like, an inner fear, I think, that's placed in us at a young age. I don't know. I can't remember when that came about growing up, but I just remember it being like, oh yeah, we're not supposed to be, you know, in pictures, and constantly telling people like, oh well, don't post this and don't post that because I'm in it, and always the constant fear of like being exposed.
See, I'm not like necessarily thinking when it started. It's all I've ever known. For me personally, I'm more interested to find out, when did it start becoming okay? Because I feel like there's kind of this push for kind of normalizing the idea of like, hey, I can put my face out there, people can see my face and know who I am, it's not that big of a deal. Like, what's gonna happen if, you know, as long, I think there's also this like difference between putting yourself out there in a very vain way, you know, like selfies or but then if you're like posting a photo of something that you're doing, especially if it's something for the, you know, for the betterment of your community or for whatever, then it's kind of seen as a little bit more acceptable. But yes, I agree, it's still taboo.
Yeah.
But I would love for you to come back and do an art show here.
I would love to. I kind of want to
we'll
talk
definitely
to
plan that.
You know, some undergrad people and see if we can do something at the Todd
that
Madigan. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Well, for me, I think the fear stopped as far as like having my photo in public about in 2013.
You remember?
I remember, because that's when I was in grad school, and I had multiple conversations with my advisor, Lynn Kirby, and she would notice how shy I would be about, oh well, this is the work I made and I'm in it, but I don't want it to be in a show because then it's going to be written about, or it's going to be, and she would say, Anissa, like, how are you supposed to be an artist if you can't show your work? Why are you making this work if you don't want anybody to see it? Are you just making it for yourself to like hide away? Like, what are you doing? And so slowly I just got the courage and said, okay, well, here, I'll show my classmates, like, this is a safe space. Okay, well, all right, I'll have it in this show, or I'll do this. And then I started realizing like how stupid it was and how ridiculous the concept is, and just like, why? I don't need to care about what if they see me, if they say something, then that's on them if they want to say something negative. But what are they really going to say? Oh, Anissa was in an art show? Yeah, she's an artist. Of course she was in an art show. It just, like, became so ridiculous to me.
No, I completely agree. I remember, and I'm sure you remember, when we were in undergrad in art school, I put myself in a lot of my work, and I can guarantee you that half of those, if they were printed, they no longer live anywhere. Like, I would destroy them just because you didn't want those type of things to live. Like, you made a statement, you had it in a, like, class critique, and then that's it. You didn't want other people to see it. I put myself in a lot of my work because it was a reflection of how I felt, or, you know, how I was, you know, expressing myself about something. But then you didn't want people to see it. And that's interesting. I don't know if I've gotten to your point yet, but it's a good thing that you've gotten past that, because I feel like that would have been a barrier ultimately for you, you know?
Yeah. I even tried to go the anonymous route. Nothing worked. It's just like, no, it's not going to work. I can't be anonymous because
it's not possible anymore. Yeah,
it's not.
So recently you also posted something where it was a GIF? GIF? I don't know how you pronounce that. It was like a video, and it had to do with age, correct? Eyes? Yes. Yeah. You want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that work titled Anis, which is like the Arabic word for old maiden, it basically just came out of frustration of the whole being 35 or approaching at that time. I was approaching 35. I'm 35 now. Approaching 35 and having to deal with that whole like, oh, you're not married. You've never been married. Now you're 35. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? What's wrong with you? Like, why does nobody wants to marry you? Like, all those issues just kind of came into play. And so I wanted to just to make something that's sarcastic, that's sort of like satire in a way, but still serious. Mm-hmm. And I took these photos of me where the first one you see, it's just me sitting there with my normal face. And then with every next photo, my face starts molding and I start expiring or start becoming honest, like more and more honest as it goes until the end where I'm completely covered in mold. And I made it, you know, for not just for me to kind of laugh at the situation and just another like way for me to be like, okay, this is ridiculous. This is an outside like negative response to me and the way I'm living my life. And I just need to laugh at it and let it go. Just kind of like a lot what I do in my work anyway, I try to make it funny, or it's just the way I react to things. And I wanted like women who are in my situation or who are even younger than me or are worried. They're already worried like at 22, 23. And they're like, oh, wait, I need or to 26. Start thinking. Or 26. But I mean, like, even as young as 22, as 23, are starting to freak out and think, oh, well, I'm not getting a lot of prospects, or I need more guys should be asking for me, or, you know, and then it starts getting to 25 and 26, and you really start freaking out, thinking, like, okay, I'm going to be 30 and not married, and, you know, why, and this is crazy. But really, no, it's not crazy. If you have faith and you know that nothing is wrong with you, just because you're not married, like, nothing's wrong with you. You're living your life. You're doing what you want to do. That's all that really matters.
Whatever you have near you is what you have, you know, to go off of. And sometimes those aren't necessarily the type of people that you want to pursue or be with. And so I'm really proud of girls that are not settling and that are, you know, kind of coming to terms with, you know what, I'm not going to let age define me and my happiness and my status the way that we've been conditioned to believe that it does within our culture. And obviously this isn't a new, you know, this isn't something new for you, because you are 35 now. I'm sure you started feeling the pressure at what age? 22?
Yeah.
22. So, you know, for over 10 years, you've, I'm sure, heard the worst of it. Does it ever change? Do you change? Do you just not care anymore? Like, how did that work out for you?
I mean, you don't stop caring. It just stopped. It doesn't bother me as much anymore. Like, I remember family members like saying things to me like, you could have been more open about the men who came and asked for you. Or if you wanted to, you could have been married by now. Or, you know, a family member even asked me if I was a lesbian. You know, it's such silly, ridiculous things, like the blame.
Right, because there has to be a reason why you're single.
Like, the blame is constantly put on the woman, and that's another reason why I made that piece, I was kind of reflecting on all the ridiculous things that were said to me and like asked of me. Why aren't you married? Like, why don't you have a man in your life? I'm like, whoa, you mean, wait, should I go get me one? Like, is that going to be okay with you? Because no, of course it's not. So I just,
and there's nothing wrong with following, you know, the footsteps of Sayyidatna Khadija, you know?
Yeah.
And
exactly. But
that in itself is also seen as taboo in our culture.
It is. Very,
a woman does not pursue a man.
It's more than taboo. It's like not allowed, not okay. She can be called some really bad things just, you know, asking to do it. I hope the work portrayed a silliness or like a sarcasticness of me just sitting there patiently rotting. Because that's really, mm-hmm. you know, what people kind of like say to you. I've had people say this to me in our community, in the Yemeni community at get-togethers, like, oh, you're just sitting there wasting away. I've had a family member said, you're letting your youth go to waste. As if, well, who's my youth for? If I'm letting it go to waste, is it not for me? Like, this is my youth, my life. Or is it supposed to be enjoyed with someone else? Like, I'm having a fine time. I live my life. I'm happy. I see you married and I see you struggle. Like, I don't have those right? I don't have that stress. And, you know?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And it's not to say that, you know, and I feel like people misunderstand what we say sometimes and in reaction to that as us like protesting marriage. And that's not the case
at all.
I don't think anyone, you know, wants to. I mean, maybe there are. I'm not going to say all. But I know from my experience, it's not a protest to it. It's just me saying that I know what will make me happy and I won't settle for anything less. And it's not me being picky. It's not me feeling superior towards anyone else. It's just me wanting to choose to be happy. And I can still be happy, you know, taking my time. You know what I mean? I'd rather do that than to get myself into, like, you know, a really shitty situation. And then what? That community that pressured you into getting married isn't going to be there for you when you're struggling and you're going to have to get a divorce. And we've seen that happen over and over. And I feel like girls are paying attention and they're becoming wise and they're saying, I'm not going to fall for that.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You can talk to the girls who were divorced and they will tell you, take your time. Don't get married. Don't rush. Don't fall into the pressure. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, still on the topic of age and marriage. We know that this is not only something that's taboo in our culture, right? So even in the Western culture, any culture really, a woman getting older and who is single or unmarried, there's always still that double standard for us. I think that kind of spans over all cultures. But what experiences or what do you think makes it a little bit different for being Arab or Yemeni? What makes it, I guess, more difficult? Is it that we're just our culture comes from, you know, kind of like an outdated ideology still? We haven't progressed enough to understand a little bit more? What is it?
I don't even think it's that. It really isn't that different. The main thing that that's been my experience is the blame, the putting it on the woman, the making it feel like there's something wrong with her. I don't see that a lot like in American culture. You kind of do. You see it a little, but it's worse. It's been my experience. Like in my experience, it's been worse because it's like, oh well, what is this person gonna say about you? What are people gonna say about you? We're always worried about reputation. So it's like, if you're not married by a certain age, your reputation starts looking a little shady. Like people start looking at you a little differently or wondering why. I've been at other like Yemeni get-togethers, and women have asked me like, but why aren't you married? Like, what's wrong with you? Is there something wrong? Like, what happened? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, Anissa, I get asked these questions about you. People are curious about, well, what is she doing? The first question people ask me about you is, how's Anissa doing? Is she still single? or is she married? That's the first question they ask about you. And it's weird because these people don't really know you, and there's so much more to you. Like, if people knew you, they'd know there's so much more to you. But that seems to be kind of the focus, right? Isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's really it. It's like we're defined
It's like that's your value as a woman.
And that's what really pisses me off. It makes me very angry to to hear that. I know that that's what they ask, and they ask that of my mom, my poor mother who has to deal with these issues. My brothers tell me all the time, like, mom's not going to be happy and be relaxed until you're married. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. Like, give me somebody worth a damn and maybe I'll consider it. But if you don't, then why is it my issue? Why is it my problem? It's not mm-hmm. my fault that these men were uneducated, previously married with a bunch of kids. Some wanted to practice polygamy. Like, that's not my fault. These were men right. who I felt like there was no way that we would get along. And if I don't see mm-hmm. compatibility, I'm not going to waste my time.
So I feel like with that type of mindset, a lot of girls and women are really branching out. They're really just getting fed up and saying, I'm not going to define myself by the status of, you know, my relationship. And so they're really going out and doing some pretty amazing things. Like, just within my own community, I've noticed girls are, you know, branching out. They're just doing some really amazing things. I mean, you're an artist. I have friends at, like, UC Santa Barbara and, you know, just going off and really pursuing their dreams. And I feel like that's kind of a blessing in disguise, isn't it? Like, that pressure that we get about marriage really has pushed us to maybe do something that otherwise maybe we wouldn't have done if we were comfortable, if we were complacent, you know?
It pushes us. It makes us stronger. It makes us way more determined. When somebody tells you can't do this or you can't do that, and you have that ambition and the motivation and the smarts to do it, it becomes beyond culture. It becomes like beyond, you know, what they consider inappropriate or appropriate. It becomes like, you know what, this is what I know is right, and I'm going to go for it because I know that I am not doing anything wrong. I'm not breaking any sins. I'm not doing anything immoral. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And then your family will come. They'll come to realize that. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with my life. I know that the whole marriage thing still bothers my family. But who knows, you know? Maybe in the future I will get married. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Being a culture of kind of imitation, do you think people will slowly start adjusting and maybe accepting this? Do you see a future where our Yemeni community will be a lot more open about women pursuing a lot more than just a basic education and then, you know, kind of going back to domestic duties?
I think definitely. I already seen a change. I'm 35 years old. I'm 10 years older than you are. When I first started college, it was just like me and maybe 2-3 other girls who are Yemeni, you know, Yemenis in college. And now colleges are full. They're graduates. They're out there. They're doing stuff. I've, you know, met girls here in the Bay Area who are doing amazing things. So I think it is changing. I think families are starting to realize. I think that my family, both my sister and I, when we first started going to school and started learning how to drive and all that, we got a lot of pressure from the Yemeni community. And that was kind of like why my family, we sort of disconnected and just started doing our own thing and not really being active in the community because it just became too much to deal with. We really didn't mm-hmm. care about them and their back talk. So we did our own thing. And just from that point to now, I see so many girls who are going, I mean, high school used to be an issue. Going to high school was an issue.
Oh, no doubt. We have people in our community who got pulled out at sixth grade, yeah. eighth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were,
and this wasn't long ago. It sounds like it's a long time ago, but this is girls my age and your age. Yeah, I know. Unfortunately.
So I see it changing, and I think that when they start seeing women like me, women like you, who are doing just fine, who are like graduating and working and are doing just fine and can still, you know, hold their dignity and hold their head high, they see that and it changes mm-hmm. their mind. They realize like, oh, wait, we need to let these backwards way of thinking, you know, go. Our daughters need to be happy. Our daughters are amazing women. They're smart. They're intelligent. They're beautiful. And they can do this.
I am very hopeful, and I hope that what you say happens. I hope sometimes that a little too much, people become a little, it's mostly the men. I mean, women too, but women are sometimes, they're brainwashed by the men. But, you know, they become a little insecure, and they fear not having control, and then they regress back so much. And I feel like I have seen that a little bit in our community, where they sense things are getting a little bit out of hand, and so they start becoming even more strict and try placing like these new barriers. But I know a lot of my listeners are going to be, you know, girls in high school, you know, Yemeni or Arab or just Muslim in general, in high school, in college, you know, all ages, but mostly for the youth. I'm sure they're interested to know, how did someone like you, who came from a small town in a very conservative community, get to the point where, you know, you're leaving to New York to do a residency and your own show? You're not, you know, a doctor, you're an artist, and, you know, alhamdulillah, like, your family is very supportive of it. But how did you get to that point? Was it a long journey? I'm sure
it was a long journey. I think it's still happening. There's still so much that I want to do, and I know it's gonna make my mom pull her hair out some more. So I know there's still a long way to go. I still want to do so many things. It's slow. It's a lot of conversations. It's a lot of talking. That's always been really hard for me. It's really hard for me.
Is there compromise?
There is compromise. I feel like I've compromised my whole life. And I feel like that's kind of why I haven't done as much as I want to do by 35. So there is a lot of compromise. Like, I know that I'm first generation. I know that this is all new for my mom. My father passed away when I was 12 years old. That's why I don't talk too much about him. I always, authority to me is my mom.
Mama is mama and baba.
Yeah, it's mama and baba. So, but of course, I also have my brothers too to deal with, and there's three of them. So it's like my mom and my three dads. But it's just constant talking and proving them wrong. If they think like, oh, well, this is not good. They never ever were worried about the decisions that I would make. They were always just worried about the stuff around me. Oh, you might get hurt. Oh, you might get, you know, the fears, like the regular fears, kidnapping, right, rape, murder, whatever. Like,
they always go to the worst. Right.
We're Arabs. Right. We're very dramatic. They go to the worst. You want to learn how to drive? You're going to drive off a bridge. You're going to die. Like, it's always like the worst. So once they saw the more I did it, and hey, I came back home and I'm safe and I'm sound and nothing happened.
One piece.
You know, actually positive things happened. Look at all this great stuff that happened to me when I went, you know, to this trip. And I show that to them, and I communicate that with them. And then eventually they just said, okay, they're fine. You know, eventually they just like, oh, okay, she's a grown woman. She knows what she's doing. She's very responsible. And it just comes with time.
And I'm sure, like, your reality is different than a lot of girls. I know a lot of girls will say, this is something that will never be an option for me. You
Trust
know, they
me,
come
I was
from.
There. I was there. I was homeschooled in high school. I wasn't even allowed to go to a public school. I wasn't. Wow. This was. I was.
So you've come.
I wasn't even allowed to. You know, the whole thing about driving, the whole education. That's why it really hits home to me, because that's who I was. I was homeschooled in high school. I wasn't. You know, no. They're like, no, we don't want you to. You know, this can happen. That can happen. Drugs, teenage pregnancy. God knows what. They're all these fears, and so they didn't want me to be around that. But you move on. They start seeing, like, hey, you know what? She went out that day and she came home and everything was okay. Yeah. They get over it. Trust me.
Inshallah.
You just have to have those conversations, as uncomfortable as they are. That conversation I had with my mom at 34 years old, telling her, I'm about to go do this artist residency in New York and you're going to be upset, but you're going to have to deal with it. That was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life.
Yeah, I watched it so many times and it felt like that was my mom. And I mean, I know your mom and I adore your mom. I felt like that was my mom on the other line, and I felt like that was me. I feel like even if we don't have the same story, any girl can put herself in that position and, like, it'll hit home. To be able to, like, open up to your mom about something so hidden deep down inside, you know, I don't think we're over our true selves in front of our parents, because we fear that we... like, even just letting out the idea of something you want to do, even though you know you won't do it, there's a fear, because then they will not necessarily hold it against you, but they'll always remember that you want to do something as radical as whatever it is, right? Even if it's happy. Like, I want to travel.
Yeah.
But to them, you know, and in our culture and also in our deen, you know, parents are first and foremost, and, you know, you give up a little bit of yourself for them. So I want to know, I mean, mashallah, you've been able to accomplish a lot from most people's perspective, but I know you're capable of so much more. I know you've only, like, chipped away at, like, what you really want to do. So what can we look forward to, inshallah, like, moving forward?
So much. I mean, there's so much to do, especially now that Trump is going to be president. I mean, there's going to be bodies and bodies of work.
That'll be on another episode. We'll talk about that another time.
I am really ambitious about an artist collective idea that I have had for a few years now, and it's finally coming together. I have a group so far. We're 4 total, but I really want to have 5. But maybe it'll grow even more. We'll see. And it's a Middle Eastern artist collective of all women, and you know, some badass women that are gonna make some really cool art together. And I have ideas about where these art shows should happen. I don't want to say too much about it because ideas get stolen.
Oh man, I thought I was gonna get some like juicy information about what's coming up next.
But it's not gonna be your typical art show, and it won't be your typical art collective. And I think that's what I'm most proud of about this idea. I'm very excited about it, and I've already been scouting places and thinking about what we're gonna do and what we're gonna show and that kind of stuff. Very exciting.
Well, I'm really, really excited, and I just know you're capable of like so many amazing things, and I'm like so happy to call you everything that I can call you, from a sister to a best friend to a mentor to.
I feel the same way about you. I really do. Aww, you so inspire me so much.
So I wanted to wrap it up with just one more question. I know in our communities, when a woman is able to do something out of the ordinary and excel towards it, she kind of becomes an example by default to a lot of youth who can relate to her and who look up to her. How do you feel about kind of holding that position, and maybe even on a greater scale moving forward, inshallah, once you roll out all these amazing projects that you have? Like, how do you feel moving forward with the type of artwork you want to create, but also just your presence within, you know, the Arab community?
I try. So when I make art, when I'm in there in the studio and I'm thinking about my work, it is a lot about my own experience. And then afterwards, I also think about the viewer, and I know that my viewers are going to be women like me, women of my likeness. They're going to be Muslim, they're going to be Middle Eastern, they're going to be dealing with the same issues. So, and a lot of them are going to be very young, and I always take that into consideration, because I have younger nieces who I want them to look at me and be proud of me and say like, oh, well, you know, she's someone who went through education, and she's someone who expresses herself, and it's fine. Like, it's a good thing. So mm-hmm. I always keep that in mind.
How do you feel about having that kind of presence? Like, does it intimidate you a little bit? Do you kind of welcome it as a challenge? Do you expect it?
I welcome it and I accept it, because I like to think of, like, the women in my family are very strong. They are. My mom is the strongest person I know, and so are my oldest sisters. They've been through a lot in life, and I'm really proud of them and their strength, and I feel like I have that as well. And if I can inspire someone or make them feel like, oh, wow, she did it and she's doing great, I can do it too, then that's something that I feel proud about. I try to produce work that I'm proud of. I don't put anything out there that I'm not okay with. Like, if I think, hey, this might be a little too inappropriate, like, if it's there is some work that I make just for myself,
right,
where I make it and then I'm like, okay, I let it out, now it's good, I don't need to share this. there is some, but everything that I put out, it's because I'm proud of it, and it's making a statement, and it's trying to reach out to whoever reacts to it.
And I love your sense of confidence and like honesty. It's really refreshing, and it's just, you know, it's not expected. There's not a lot of women, Yemeni women who are that comfortable talking about what you're able to talk about and kind of put themselves out there. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, the purpose of this podcast and why I wanted to create it was because I wanted to spotlight women like you and women's narratives that are highly underrepresented and underestimated, not only by the people within our community or by the men within our community, but even the larger American community, who sometimes view us through a one-sided lens and like to paint a picture of who they think that we are. And I feel like it's finally time that we speak up and we're unapologetic and we can tell our stories and not have to worry about backlash from our Western culture or our Arab culture. So I really appreciate you coming on with me and just being so honest and sharing your story. And I'm looking forward to what you have moving forward and also definitely having you back. Where can people find you so that they can view some of the pieces that I know we talked about and just to see overall, like, you know, the pieces you've been able to put together?
Yeah, they can find my work at my website, www.anisasaleh.com, or more loosely on Instagram. You can see some work on there. And the Instagram is Anisa Saleh Art.
Yes, and I'll have like all the links to that in the show notes. So be sure to check that out and follow her so that you can keep up to date, because I am telling you, inshallah, there's going to be some pretty amazing things in the future. So thank you, Anisa.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for creating this space for us to talk.
Thank you for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to like and follow This Muslim Girls podcast on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also visit the blog thismuslimgirl.com, where you can find all content information from this and all previous episodes.